Welcome to another edition of the Mexican Soccer Show. I am Luis Velasquez. This is an hour-long I messed that up. Welcome to another edition of the Mexican Soccer Show. I am Luis Velasquez, an hour-long podcast dedicated to all things Mexican football. With me, Adriana Terrazas, who is in La Ciudad de México. And for those of you guys who don't know, we're in the U.S. We don't get, like, the memos of why cities change. But, like, my uncle told me the other day, he was like, oh, ¿cuándo vas a ir al DF? And I'm like, they don't call it the F anymore. Like, there was a whole campaign of calling it Ciudad de México.
We actually said goodbye to that.
The F. I don't think people in the U.S. and around the world got the memo, because there's people from, like, Spain, and I know, and I talk to a lot of people that are like, oh, yeah, you know, in el DF. Like, DF is really well known. So if you're listening to this podcast, Ciudad de México, DF was kind of, it's kind of like a term. It got canceled. Like, I don't know if they did something wrong for it, but. No more the Distrito Federal, just FYI. Because if you say that to anybody from La Ciudad de México, te van a ver como que, bro, that's not.
No, we still, like, embrace the DF. Like we're defeños. For anyone that doesn't understand, this is like DC. It's like changing. I don't know. There was some kind of legal thing where we stopped being like a federal district. That's what the DF stands for. And then we ended up being a state. So that's kind of why that happened. So now it's not Mexico DF. Now it's just Mexico City.
So yeah. CDMX. Like the
that was actually part of the campaign. It was goodbye DF, hello CDMX, which is Ciudad.
Which
Mexico
is where you see CDMX in El Zócalo and todo. So
yeah.
if your family that's in the U.S., we didn't get the memo, and my uncle's like, ¿cuándo vas a ir al defectuoso?
And I was that's the other nickname. Like DF.
Right.
Like,
it's called Mexico City. There's a blah, blah, blah. Regardless, todos dicen que son chilangos. So we'll keep it at that. But anyways.
Yeah, then you'll open up like the Pandora's box of like the quesadilla thing, if quesadillas naturally have cheese or not, and then we fight with Monterrey people. Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, Adriana Terrazas is there. Sometimes she's cold when I'm hot. Sometimes she's hot when I'm cold. We don't know what's the other. Thank you for joining us. I know it's busy time. And when I mean busy, it's crazy times right now. The last of the Mexico games, everything that's happened in Liga MX, the World Cup is turned in, Femenil, and you working really hard in the medios and all things that you do. Thank you so much for being a part of the Mexican Soccer Show, como siempre. Pero, ¿cómo estás?
I'm good. Bien, bien. Hectic. You can start feeling like the World Cup vibe. The Panini album came out last week, so that was like a definitive way of letting us know it's coming, people.
It's here.
There's no turning back. It's here.
And since we always talk about what's most important in Mexico for Mexico fans, Panini is definitely something that we all fans look at it. So you have it with you.
Yeah, here it is.
Your first impressions, because mine's still not here. By the way, I don't remember it being these expensive. Like, I thought
it's really expensive now.
I didn't have the money to buy this as a child. And I remember buying it as a child. So I remember buying it as a child, but okay, I know inflation, everything's more expensive, especially, but to get it to the US, I went on to online on Amazon, and it was like $156 for like a box and the Panini book.
That's even more expensive than what I paid for it.
I was like, hold on.
Yeah.
Wait a second. It can't be this much. Then I found some that are way much cheaper. Anyways. First impressions, obviously the colors match the World Cup, all the theme and all that. But how are you liking it? I heard people say it's a little too cartoonish.
It is. I mean, I did some Instagram stories once I got it. There's two things I'll highly criticize. I mean, first of all, I'm psyched. The fact that I'm criticizing
something. We're getting it back. Yes.
Yeah, it's just, I'm happy to get it. It's just like World Cup vibe. And I'm going to start like swapping stickers with everybody. But yeah, two things I really do regret. The first one is that previously you would have like all the players be like 1 through 600 or something. Every time you would need like a sticker, you'd be like, hey, do you have like number 253? Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have that anymore. Every single team is, you get like the numbers from 1 to 20. Like here's Mexico, for instance. So you get 1 to 20, which just complicates things enormously, because now you have to have like a sub list for every team. So it's like, oh, I'm missing number 14 of Mexico, and I need number 7 of Argentina. I didn't really like that. I thought that really that sucks. I don't like doing that. That was the first big no-no. The second is more maybe like a personal thing. I actually do like the stickers from Russia. These have like a blue background, and I don't know. I think I liked Russia's a lot better. I actually posted a video in my Instagram account yesterday comparing both of them, because I actually thought the stickers were a little bit smaller this year. They're not. They're the same size. They just look different.
God.
So, yeah, I didn't like the scheme of the photo. I just like the white background. And they obviously avoided putting what club each player is in, because unlike other World Cups, they were actually switching clubs like while this was being printed. other than that, I mean, it's pretty much the same. That I think those were the pretty big changes for Qatar. Oh, and they had like this other thing at the end. They added like previous World Cup champions. So you have like this page over here. Not all of them are stickers. Some of them are. So you get like these special stickers.
Yeah.
For previous champions.
It has all the stadiums. They have like all the beginning stuff that normally has, right?
Yeah. For instance, here's like the stadium page.
Cool.
Doing pretty well with that one.
All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, and there's another crazy thing. There's like, you have like special stickers. They're called the Legends. And apparently the thing is, you get one of those special cards. You don't have to stick it anywhere. It's just like for you to keep, apparently. And you have three different choices. So you can get Messi with a basic background. You can get him with a bronze background, a silver background, and then like a gold background or something.
Yeah, like somehow these are rare.
So it means you have like 80 plus more stickers to get, which I am definitely 86ing that part, because that's just too much.
So every player has one of those, right?
I don't know if it's every player. I think it's only like, I think they chose like 10 players or something like that.
Are there any Mexico players?
I don't know. I don't know. I heard about Messi because there's a TikTok video from some little kid in Argentina who started opening one of the envelopes, and he got like golden Messi, and he started crying.
I've already gotten one.
I got Mbappe, and he like in a basic level. I don't even have him like bronze or silver.
Which is cool because, you know, okay, you got one of the rare ones, but at the same time, the whole point of it is making sure that you fill up the. It's not like
thing.
A rare card. Because I remember our friend Diego FIFA, who's a cool friend of the Footmax Nation, and also he said that he explained it like, you know, there's only one of these, there's 10 of these, there's 100 of these, or something like that. So it goes back to like the colors in those rare ones. So awesome. There's nothing to do with football, but if you have your Panini book and you're going to, I remember Mexico being an.
We still need someone to swap with.
it's crazy. So. Pretty soon. I know I've swapped some people on Twitter. Like we mailed each other back our extras. So, my box is coming in a few days, Adriana. And if you are, maybe we can have like a little swapping session. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome. There's actually, several apps. I got one that's called Figuritas. It's really cool. I mean, you just like poke around, like what numbers you've got, and then it'll automatically tell you like which ones you're missing and which ones you have, extras.
There you go.
So that's like a step up from like the actual list and post it I used to do. And each time I got like stickers, it would be smaller and smaller and smaller until the point I actually memorized what stickers I was missing. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Right.
Yeah, good. We'll see. All right.
One of the like the historical ones. That's pretty cool.
Is that 90?
No, 82. It's Italy 82.
Oh, yeah. Got it.
Previous champions. Yeah.
Maldini.
So that's. There we go. I'm trying to focus here with the camera. There we go.
There it is. Nice. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Get your Panini books. Get your estampillas. It depends if you're in the U.S., in Mexico, or all over parts of the world. You listen to us, and maybe we'll have a cool little trading sessions of what.
How many boxes did you order? But
I just got one.
Okay. You're like gonna need box. You need like a box and a half.
Okay, so we'll see.
You should let me know, and then I can send them over, and it'll probably be a lot cheaper than you actually buying them from.
There's. I gotta look to see what it is, especially because there's not that many people. I thought over here like Walgreens had them, but they weren't sold out. So I went to Amazon. I'm like, there's no way it's as much. But cool. We'll see. Get it, and it's already.
Let us know how it goes.
The Panini books goes out. It's officially like World Cup season. Wait. Is there anybody that's you're like, this person's not gonna make it to the World Cup?
You know what I did? I opened up like all the stickers, and then I started organizing them by teams, and I got like all the Mexico stickers, and I got Funes Mori, and I put like the "Oh No" song from TikTok. And I was like,
but there's
oh,
not
no.
like someone in there that like, oh man, it's
Talavera is on there, so I was like
yeah,
really?
Talavera could go.
I mean, he could, but
I mean, I think when he says Munoz, 2014 one.
Yeah, like you've got Ochoa, Talavera, Araujo, Gallardo, Montes, Moreno, Luis Romo. I think so far so good, except for Talavera.
Yeah.
Jorge Sanchez, Edson, Tecatito. We'll see. Guardado, Eric Gutierrez, Hector Herrera, Lainez. That was a risky bet. Charlie Rodriguez, kind of risky, I think. Rogelio Funes Mori, Raul, and Chucky.
Got it.
Yeah, I don't have all of them, but they're...
All right, well, there you go. That's how the end is. Yeah, there's a lot. Cool. All right, moving on to... we had a friendly. Obviously, we didn't have a Mexican soccer show last week. It was a little tough with all the holiday and Labor Day over here, but... then we're doing it on the pregame. Like, all right, who did Mexico play? I feel like we lost this. Mexico contra Paraguay, jugaron in Atlanta. I was there. Great atmosphere is always in Atlanta and all the games. What stunk it up was that Mexico's not going to be able, wasn't able to get not even a tie, but a loss, 1-0. Adana, your impressions of the game and specifically. These friendlies that are happening in the U.S., they serve a purpose 100%, but they're not winning these games. So it's kind of like I'm in two sides of things. When we say moleros, these are easy teams. These are teams that, you know, we don't necessarily care about, but we're not winning these games. So we are at least getting, you know, some feedback on our players and if they're ready to go. Or how do you see all this, and what do you think of the game?
It was a pretty terrible game at some point. I mean, I don't mind them losing. It's just the fact that they're not really inciting people to follow them and to be really optimistic. I mean, even like now with the album and people just talking about the World Cup a whole lot more. The first thing that comes to mind is like the joke of saying, oh, but we're going to be back after group stage. We're not even going to make it to best of 16. So, it's hard to be optimistic after seeing that game. Yes, granted, it wasn't a FIFA friendly. You had Liga MX players only, which I think was a good thing. I actually do think those games sometimes are really useful because you are giving a chance to those players who are usually being cut from the team because, hey, you're bringing over Chucky. How could you not have him play, right? But other than that, how can you actually give a shot to someone who plays in Liga MX? And this is, trying to be like top competition. So, that part, I appreciate it. I did see some players individually are doing pretty well. Again, it was really difficult to actually see like a team effort with players that I don't know how many times did they actually practice? Like a couple of times, maybe three times. Other than that, I think we could all agree on some of the players that should be on the list from Liga MX. I mean, having Charlie on there, I think, isn't far-fetched. I think we can all agree that Acevedo should be the third goalkeeper. I think Montes could be on there as well. And then you can start debating about some players like Alvarez, who I think has a really strong like campaign behind him. But it's just gonna be really difficult to start like changing Tata's mind at this point.
Yeah. I felt like at the very, and if we're kind of looking at the game, like I felt like Mexico actually did do well on paper, and then just the goal didn't come in. When you're looking at how many shots, I think the keeper, Peru's keeper, had an amazing game. Paraguay keeper has an amazing game. There's like three shots on the hit the crossbar, and it was just one of those games where, you know, no la metió Mexico, and it was needed how the Europeans are needed in these types in all games with the talent that those guys have.
And so, they know each other, which I think is key. I mean, I think that's probably like one of the few things Mexico actually has like in their favor for like towards the World Cup is they're actually going to be together for quite a long time. While some of the other leagues are going to end, I think even a couple of weeks after Liga MX does. So that's a good thing. I mean, they really do need to kind of like get to know each other a lot more, but I think that was like kudos to Liga MX for making sure that they end the season early.
Yeah. So I wasn't very like upset because again, these are the exhibition games that we have. These are the games that we're trying to find. If there's players that are on the bubble, if there are players that are that, you know, Tata still wants to call up. I don't think there's anybody new that he hasn't called up. I mean, I think that was the convocatoria that is needed.
Yeah. How many players do you think he's called up, like, for the entire process?
Yeah, that's...
That'd be really interesting to know. I think it's, like, over... 45, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's, oh, yeah, oh, of course, yeah, there's definitely more than 45. Like, I think when you're looking at that, yeah, it'd be interesting to see how many he has. But again, when you're looking at of how they didn't, you know, they didn't win the game, and normally we'd be like, okay, and people were angry, and of course, you know, they have every right to be angry when you don't win. And although people in the stadium, it's party anyway. So, but there's a lot of people that are like, okay, there was a foot up. That's the chant again. It's because these things keep happening where it's like that. Those teams, oh, we did well, but we didn't win because, you know, even though we had 19 shots on goal and 3 on the shot, you know, sometimes it's okay to excuse those. That's going to happen. The problem is that we're not seeing anything positive happening. Like normally,
yeah, that happens, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, okay, we have a good game and another good game. Something bad happens. It's like your team in Liga MX, right? Or your team in any sport. You have bad games. And you can excuse them by like, you know what? It was one of those games where the ball didn't go in.
It's 12 out of 18 qualify. It can't be that bad.
But then you go, okay, that's excused one time. And then another time with that this team, you go, you know what? We just had one bad mistake. We were dominating, and then one mental error, and the opposition capitalized. You're like, okay, that happens. We can't. But and then in the next game, it's like, you know, there was a red card, and I feel like every possible scenario where Mexico doesn't win keeps happening for Tata. That because there's nothing positive, that we're just going, well, is this the trend? And I think that's where fans are right now. Where what's positive coming out of the U.S.? I mean, out of Mexico. what's positive that's coming out of El Tri? And we can't really pinpoint, you know, this. Where maybe we're hungry for it. The national team jersey came out and everybody's raving about it. Finally, something good. It has nothing to do with football. But, you know, maybe we're hungry to celebrate Mexican football in some way. That maybe that's another reason why the jersey and at least that's doing really well. But we go back to the last friendly, and you know, now we're looking ahead. And if this is how it's going to be, where are these? I feel good about this team facing against Poland. Lewandowski just had a hat trick. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, okay, what positive outlook are we looking for? And this is why I think these two friendlies are going to be huge. But then at the same time, this is when we go, it doesn't matter if we lose these friendlies because, you know, it all matters in the World Cup. But again, where is this positive, you know, team, something good that's coming out of? And the only thing I can rescue is the fact that players in the national team or Tata's players are actually doing really good in their teams. Like I'm seeing that trend where it's like, okay, maybe not with the national team, but at least these players, which is something that, and I know you and I have talked about this. It's something that wasn't happening last year during qualifiers. No one was having a good time. Like no players were doing well. European or, you know, aside from Edson, you know, but none of the players that are on the national team right now, you got players like Gallardo scoring, you know, everyone's, you know, seeing how this player is doing well. You have Montes playing well. You have a Moreno, I think, playing really well. And then we're starting to kind of look. Charlie's doing good. Monterrey players, aside from
Funes Mori,
you know, they're doing Henry Martin scoring goals. Bebote is scoring. So it's kind of like, all right, maybe we're just grasping towards the individual of these players and their teams. But I get why people are still worried.
Well, that's what I mean, that it was a terrible game because, I mean, yeah, we had clear shots on goal, granted. But people were chanting Fuera Tata again. There's no actual player I think people are truly excited about, at least with the group that was called up this time. I mean, if Santiago Jimenez was called up, I mean, we probably would have been, yeah, it would have been like really exciting because, yeah, he just went to Europe and he's doing great. And
what about Alexis Vega? That's the guy that everyone was looking at, no?
But he's not actually like generating that, like, energy from the fans. I think there's no, like, it's not like Raul like a couple of years ago when everyone was like, it's Raul, I mean, it's happening, or Tecatito, or there's no player. It doesn't mean they're playing poorly, because yeah, individually they're doing pretty well, but it just, there's no one that's actually like holding the team and carrying them, like, personality wise and we've also spoken about this. You don't have like a really strong character, like, captain role either. And even if you had Ochoa and you had Guardado, who are like the key, like, experienced players. It's not like a leadership position like we've seen with Cuauhtémoc, with Rafa, with Pavel. It just seems as though the team is lacking in all those kinds of things. So they could play fairly okay, but still, you're not getting people excited. I mean, I remember previous World Cups, and you would see the group, and you would be like, oh, yeah, we'll probably suffer. But there was like a bit more optimism. Maybe we could even be like naive. And then now it's like, oh my God, are we actually going to win a game? Like, because we could lose against Poland. Everyone thinks we're going to lose against Argentina. And now we're all dreading the fact that we couldn't even beat like Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So that's what's really different. And I think that's what the team is lacking. And that's why it's so difficult to generate something even like a couple months before the World Cup, just because you don't have that. You don't have those really key players, the key leadership position. Obviously, Tata's being criticized. Like, if he calls up a player, why is he putting him on? If he doesn't call a player, why isn't he calling him on?
Stuff like that.
So, yeah, there's tons of that going on.
Tata's definitely on the hot seat. I think we've realized, I mean, for him to say, hey, you know, somebody asked him at the end of the game about the Fuera Tata comments. They were definitely loud, you know. And he said I don't know if he said he doesn't see why, but it was kind of like, you know, this is where you got to be behind your team.
Yeah,
you know, this is a time where these players already have enough pressure to not have the fans, you know, behind them is what creates a lot of that pressure.
Yeah, agreed.
But then again, how can you, you know, be? And I get it. Look, we as fans and the fans all over, exageramos mucho. You know, we as soon as something bad happens, it's like fuera. I mean, they had fuera that way before this happened.
Oh yeah, it's like the fuera piojo. The team hasn't been played, and it's trending already.
This is part of the national. This is what happens when you're in a high profile fan base around the world, right? Argentina, España, all those.
Yeah.
I mean, to a point where everyone's looking at it. But there is some truth to it, and again, I think it goes back to there's nothing positive that's happening that we're getting excited from a player, right? Mm-hmm. Right, that's playing in the national team to a result that we're like, hey, okay, we look good. I go back. The best game that I've seen under Tata was during 2020, 2019 in the European Tour. I believe it's 2020, actually, where, you know, against Holanda during that
tournament. Yeah.
You know, so we finally, where Tata said, I remember him excited about his offense, of how well they were playing in his system. And it's like right before the big, the pandemic, or right, you know, in the middle of it, where everything got paused. But at the same time, that I just remember him raving about his team. And now it's kind of like on the defense whenever he comes on. Right. Where it's kind of like, here's why I believe in this team. So for the World Cup, we're either going to get this highly prepared, like, team that's like, all right, we've been warming up to this.
They're going to peak right at the World Cup.
Right at the World Cup, just like they did 3 years ago, right after the Gold Cup. Or is this going to be a disaster? Tata had been wrong. And that's it. Like, we're not making it out. Like, I've seen those two scenarios where it's like, okay, these players are playing well. You know, whoever's up there that's healthy and that's been playing, it's going to be because these guys are playing. And to Tata's credit, Tata's, like, national team call-up players, for the majority, are playing really well with their teams.
Yeah, at least they have that going on for them. So, yeah. I just hope now they get called up. I mean, because, yeah, I mean, you can't guarantee they will. I mean, one of the things we criticize from Tata is the fact that he's sticking to what he knows, despite the fact that you have players that are doing a lot better than those initial other players. I mean, you could really debate on whether Chaquito should be called up. He is playing really well. He's getting minutes. He's now in Europe. I mean, yeah, he won't be a starting position.
I would start him right now.
You would? Over who?
Right now? Over Raul?
I mean, yeah, you could. Will he?
I would. Right now, I would.
The thing. All fans, we want that. We want you to put, like, the players that are doing well at this moment, because that's one of the things. You have to be, like, hot. It's not going to happen. He's going to know with what he knows.
Yeah, true.
And so he's going to have, like Gallardo.
I'm not a team coach that has that relationship with Raul. You know, but if I was, I mean, I get it. Our friend.
Well, if he did that, he would call up Chicharito.
No, I mean, yeah, but
Chicharito, you know, he would.
Whole Chicharito thing.
Yeah, I know, but if you were going to do that, you'd call up Chicharito.
It's fun. Like I'm saying, I feel like Tata's just going back. See, guys, I told you, Chicharito right now, I'm one of my favorite players.
Well, look what you guys got me into. I really want to call him. We need him, people. And
you know, it's like the whole PK thing with Chicharito and then missing another PK, the Panenka, and it's like,
I really hate Panenka shots, by the way. I think penalty shots always as strong as you can, as far away from the center like as you can. That's like, yeah. Fuerte y a los lados. Always fuerte y a los lados. There is no need for a Panenka. I hate
True.
It. I hate that, and I hate the little hop that they're doing before the penalty kick now.
Well, that's Raul, oh, man.
I despise the little hop.
Raul Jimenez is perfect. Okay.
No. No one has to do that. No one has any need for doing a little hop. No.
we're not going around the run, though. But okay. You remember, like, the Panenkas that go in, and you're like, wow. Like, to
do
that.
Yeah, it's just like an it's nice when they go in, but it's just like such exactly. an unnecessary thing.
Exactly.
It's like,
could you do it?
Yeah, do you dare
to stamp to say, I have whatever.
No, you can do it like when you're winning like 2-0, 3-1. Okay, you can do that. But not when you're trying, not when there's pressure, not when you actually need
to win. That's for his hat trick. And he scores with the Panenka after scoring two goals and giving, you know, it's like, I think that's the moment. And I think, I don't necessarily applaud him because, again, I wouldn't have taken that risk, but that's just me. But there's players that do. Zidane in a World Cup,
ooh,
you know.
Yeah, but that's, yeah.
No. It's like,
still.
he did it. And everyone talks about that Panenka. Or, you know, there's other players who have just humiliated, and you have those. So just
yeah, but then they're also humiliated when they miss the shot. We had, who was it, in a Clásico Tapatío? Oh my God, who was it? I'm gonna Google it in a minute. There's okay Panenka available occasions, and then there's like Panenka prohibited occasions.
Then it goes in. All right, guys, this is when you can. But first of all, I don't ever.
Yeah, it's like America Mazatlan. Go ahead, you guys. No worries there.
Man, I just. You know, after that game, and Chicharito's like, my fault. Then what do you do, right? Then there's another PK. It's because of Chicharito that happens, and he goes up, and I can see why he's taking it again, because there's that confidence again. You know, you missed one. There was a big drama. Here it is. Redeem yourself. It was actually a really good take at PK to the corner on the left, and the keeper stops it, and everyone just goes, ah. Then there's another PK in the same game, and Chicharito didn't take it.
And but you have to make sure that other players can actually, you know, take their shots as well.
In PK drama, if we go across the pond with Bebote and his team, that apparently he wanted to take the PK. There was some protocols within the team. The team captain is like, you know, I take all the PKs, but somehow that didn't get, I don't know if he just didn't follow that. He went, scored it beautifully. And then the captain at the end of the game said, you know, we have protocols. He shouldn't have done that. And we have a team, which I'm like, what? So.
Oh, here we go. So it was Ponchito González. It was like 7 years ago because I know Aldo Rocha did it like last year. Or no, this year. I don't remember if it was this year or last year. But yeah, this was a longer time ago. Yeah.
All right. No Panenkas for Adriana's team.
No. You can do it. Like, if Barcelona wants to do it against Bayern Munich,
If this is the PK that's going to get us to the round of 16.
Oh, dear God, no.
And somehow it's like, I'm going to do a Panenka. I'd be like, what are you doing? Just score.
Oh, he's not coming out alive with that stadium. No. You know, you can't
but
do that.
But if we're looking at, well, that's what Zidane did in the World Cup finals. Like,
but it's Zidane.
I know, but I'm not comparing them, but I'm just saying, okay, Cuauhtemoc's going to do it.
He won everything anyways.
I know, you did. Cuauhtemoc's going to do it, right? He's going to be a
player. Oh, yeah.
You also need
first thing to take into consideration is make sure you have a player that has the personality and to do that. Not just the showing off, but the actual, like, confidence that, yeah, I'm not going to screw up. I'm
okay with them, you know, trying a Panenka.
Well, because he would do it for Medica, so I couldn't care less. So
France 2010, Mexico needed that PK to win the 2-1 where Cuauhtémoc took that.
Oh, no. Yeah, like,
and there you go. It's going to be a Panenka. Everybody knows it. You know what? It's Temo. Do it.
Oh, no. I get shivers just about thinking about it. No. Just make sure it goes in. It's like,
yeah. Well, the good thing is that Temo loves to take 100 feet when he used to do his PKs and run as fast as he can.
That's the way to tap it in.
Tap it in and it goes flying. It was... to this day, I think he only missed one official PK. I think I saw where Cuauhtémoc has the most, the streaks in out of like 59.
Well, Raul had one, remember? I think Raul had that record as well. Yeah.
He's missed two.
Yeah.
But I think I saw an article somewhere in England that came out that it is Cuauhtémoc Blanco of like official players has only missed in his whole career. Didn't take a ton, but I think only missed one, which... We'll see. All right. Now to backtrack. These two games that are coming up, Mexico contra Peru, Mexico contra Colombia. The official send-off match is what they're calling it. The one in LA, which is a little odd. I'm not going to lie. Like, why wouldn't it be the one in Santa Clara? But I get it. LA is bigger. Pasadena expecting all the players are going to be there. We're going to have the list should be coming out soon. Usually comes out on Thursday. It might come out on Tuesday or Wednesday, but I know it's definitely coming out this week. Players, and to you, Adriana, how important is this list? Because this is going to be the final two friendlies before like the World Cup list is out.
Will he be pretty set without injuries?
Are there any players that come in?
I mean, you do need like a natural substitute for Tecatito, for instance.
Yeah.
So that's just one player that, I mean, it could be a player that you were already considering to call up, but it's like a domino effect, right? If you have that player, then someone else has to come in for that player, even as a sub. So we just might see something. I mean, I don't think we'll see any more surprises. I don't think it's the moment to just keep on seeing players. You've seen them enough. I mean, and if not, you can just see them like every weekend if you need like something else to change your mind. Yeah, I think this is the occasion to actually start building the team and just start making sure that you know who's playing where with who, what position, and just making sure they have enough minutes available to get to know each other. I think we've reached that point. I don't think I would still test out stuff like 2 months away from the World Cup. No.
Our friends, these guys doing an amazing job doing stats all about Mexican football, stat kicks. They came out with a really cool little graphic where it says profundidad de plantilla. Not 100% in my opinion, but it's kind of cool to see. So if, give them a follow and if you're following along, I'll give you some time. But it was kind of cool to see Tata. I guess this might be like Tata's profundidad.
When we're looking at it.
But if you're looking at it, Ochoa, Acevedo, Talavera. You know, I would say that too. I think Acevedo is finally, I think he's going.
I think he could actually be like the second goalkeeper, truth be told. For sure. I really like him as a goalkeeper. Like, I even looked up a tweet I had, it was like 7 years ago, saying I really enjoyed this player. It was when he came out, and then it was also we were looking at Jurado in Veracruz, I remember. And I was like, oh, we're getting all these younger goalkeepers. Mm-hmm. I remember that happening. I mean, yeah, different stories. Now, if you look at them, they're way different scenarios now.
Who went to Portugal?
Raul Gudiño.
Gudiño. I mean, that was around that time, right? Jurado, Gudiño.
Yeah, you were suddenly looking at like this new generation. And I remember looking at Acevedo, and I was like, wow, this kid's got, like, he's tough. I like him as a goalkeeper. So, I'd have him on there.
To me, Ochoa gets injured, bringing Acevedo. Now, Talavera's still not a bad keeper. Like, Talavera's still...
No, he's good.
Talavera, I would say, in the air, coming out, is one of the best keepers. If it's a corner kick, Talavera's always really good. We're solid in that position. Ochoa's just going to give you, and you've seen it, you've seen the Ochoa... Yeah, the cat-like reflexes.
Cat-like against Brazil.
You see Ochoa. Like, there's no way you're taking it out. Right back, our friend StatsKicks have Sanchez, Kevin Alvarez, Eric Lara, and Julian Araujo.
Emilio, right? It would be Emilio.
Sorry.
Yeah. And Julian.
Lira, not Lara. Yeah. Emilia Lara.
Lara.
Yes. That's, I mean, when you're looking at.
I take like Sanchez and Alvarez. I actually think Alvarez is doing a lot better. I'm going to be highly criticized because of this, because Jorge Sanchez just went off to the Netherlands. But mm-hmm. I really do think Kevin has been doing such an amazing job. I do see. I only think the thing he's lacking is actually minutes with the senior squad. I think that's the only thing. I don't think Sanchez will do poorly. I just rather have Alvarez at this point. But yeah, I get why. Right, at experience level, you need Sanchez on there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Araujo, Montes, and Alanis. Well, I don't Alanis on the right
How
side.
How did Alanis make that list? That's a weird one.
Yeah, that's. I think that's the only one that I'm just.
Calling. That's the only one. Like, really?
Yeah, that's. This is their list, but you know, Araujo, Montes, of course.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, and I think they're both gonna make it there.
Vasquez, Moreno, and Angulo. I don't.
I don't think Angulo will make it. Yeah, I don't think Angulo will make it.
I don't know. I remember hearing that he really likes him from like people that are.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think I would have either. I like Moreno with Montes for some reason. I like that.
I think Moreno.
I like for sure central defense. Yeah.
Joan Vasquez not getting minutes. He's in the bench. I think his stock has kind of dropped. So, and maybe it's something there that Tata has known. You know, it's kind of like, well, you got to be playing your team. Everyone was like criticizing because he didn't even go to the bench in the other games. But Johan is not playing.
Yeah, I'd have Moreno and Johan.
I have Moreno, Montes, and even Araujo too. I mean, Araujo.
Yeah.
Arteaga, Reyes, Gallardo, Aguirre. I think Gallardo's top of Tata's.
Yeah, I don't think he even likes Arteaga. That's the one I really don't think he likes.
I think he's going. I think he's used.
I'm not sure he'll be called up.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd
go with. I think Gallardo's probably his like number one player for that position for left back. Followed up by I want to say Aguirre for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
Gallardo's there for sure. And then scoring three goals, very good golazos. Granted, it was a kind of weak defense, but I think Gallardo's stock has definitely gone up. There is there's no way Edson Álvarez.
That's set. Yeah. If there's one player you know is going to start all three games, it's Edson.
And Ochoa. Edson number one. And Ochoa, Edson doing great, having great games. Ajax, Álvarez, Chavez, and Reyes.
It's only going to be Edson, and if he has to have another like holding midfielder, it's going to be like Guardado or something. If he has to do that, which I don't think he will.
Jorge Sanchez played in that role.
Yeah, he did. I saw that for the Champions League game last week, right?
League game coming in.
I was surprised. Man. I was like, wait, why isn't he like? Why is he there? Like, oh,
I'm like, hold on a second. We can't have two Mexicans fighting for one spot. We want to have two. there's no one going into it. In the middle, too, because of Tata, let's go, you know, Herrera, Chay Rodriguez, Beltran,
and Romo,
which this is where I kind of go, where is Herrera and how is he going to be coming into the World Cup? Could we already put Chay Rodriguez? This is, you know, Tata saying that Herrera is the most talented player.
I mean, he is, but he's not. I mean, again, you have to be like hot. I mean, I think you really have to take that into consideration. Yeah, when you're coming into World Cup, you need players, yes, with experience, but most of all, I think you need players who are at their best in that moment. And sadly enough, I don't think Acheche is at his best right now with Houston.
Right now, he's not. Right now, I would say Chay Rodriguez. On the other side,
Eric
Gutierrez, Andres Guardado, Sebastián Córdoba.
No, he's not going to make it. I was looking at a Tigres game the other day, and I was just so sad of how he after the Olympics, his career just isn't the same. I mean, I definitely thought he was great.
At the beginning of the season. At the beginning of the season, Córdoba was scoring goals. He was back.
Yeah,
then,
I mean, he
last few weeks.
Like, he left America, and then it was like downhill. And then it took him a while to get used to Tigres, and it seems as though he's going uphill again. But it just took so long. I mean, I think he lost really, like, really valuable time at that, at this point. So I don't even think he's going to make it to the, for the roster, to the roster. I mean, they were saying that he might take some players to be like, I don't know, to just have like enough players available for practice and stuff. I think it's another three players. I could see Córdoba being in that list, but I definitely don't think he'll be in the definitive like 26 player list.
Yeah.
Sadly enough, because I really do think, and this is coming from a Chivas fan, I actually thought that he was doing really great with América. I was like, oh my God, we've got new talent. Here we go. Really exciting player. I think we even thought that he was going out to Europe sometime soon. And then, yeah, he left América and it just took him a while to get used to Tigres.
Yeah. On the left side, Irving Lozano, good thing after the, you know, his injury came back and everything's good with all the tests. He should be good. Mm-hmm. Alexis Vega, Orbelín Pineda, who's been scoring goals in the Greek. Granted, the Greek league isn't, you know, top 8. 9,
I mean,
10,
but
he's playing and he's scoring goals and he's doing well. And then Piojo Alvarado, a player that I think Tata really likes and that has played well in Tata's system.
Yeah.
Maybe not such a popular player, but yeah. I mean, there isn't anybody. I mean, Piojo probably on the I think Pineda, I think Orbelín goes.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to beat. I mean, on the right side, you have Tecatito, which is like a huge, like, question mark. Lainez, Antuna, and Marcelo Flores. No, not yet. Not yet for Flores. Next time. Next 2026 is World Cup. I mean, this is where you start playing out and you're like really grateful that we have 26 players this time instead of 23.
Yes.
I mean, Tecatito, if he doesn't make it, with truth be told, I really don't think he will. I would love for him to be back. I just don't see how he can come back from that injury and be like physically fit without risking another injury, to be honest.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So
this is where I go. I think Tata's gonna wait until the very last minute. If Tecatito is available at 75%, do you take him to the World Cup? Is he training back? Is he ready to run? But this is a broken.
Yeah, I'd only have him back if he's been training for at least like 3 weeks, and which seems so unlikely
because even then,
it's a huge risk.
Now you're
gonna
come in. The first game is against Poland in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Or do you wait, give him some time, sub him in, then he plays against Argentina, then he starts for the Saudi Arabia.
Oh yeah, and I couldn't see him even
maybe
starting. Like,
and if that's a possibility, he's going to take him. Who's going to take down the pecking order? You know, people, whatever the speculation is. I'm the type of person to take Marcelo Flores. Be a part of that, and to get him primed up as the very young person. Let's be honest, from 2021 to 26, you're not going to get any playing time anyway in that, right? It's 11 players. You have one sub.
Yeah.
You know, are you really, you know? But then again, Tata really likes Antuna. He plays him.
I think Linus is really beating Linus in that position. Not that I dislike Linus. I actually really do like him as a player, but I do think Antuna could be beating him at this point for that position.
Linus is even a starter if Tecatito's not there, which could bump in a person like Marcelo Flores. For me, I'm all in for him to go. But at the same time, you know, it's going to be tough. And up top, Raul Jimenez. And now, El Bebote, Martin, and Funes Mori.
Oh, man, you just can't take Funes Mori. You can't take Funes Mori. Wait, how many players do we have? Okay, wait, let me see. Like, we have three goalkeepers, and then we got Sanchez, Alvarez, Araujo, Montes, Vázquez Moreno, Arteaga, and no, we said Gallardo and Aguirre. So we have 10. And then we only have Edson as holding midfielder, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Okay, we could probably take several of them. We could probably be a bit more flexible with the strikers.
No, I think that's where, like, remember, there's 26 players. I don't think he takes all four of them, though.
No, I don't think he should or will take Funes Mori. Yeah, I take Henry, to be honest. Yeah. I take all three of them. I take Chiquito, I take Raul, and I take Henry.
Yeah, two of those. Yep. Yeah.
I take two of those, and then Chucky plus Vega plus Orbelin, and then on the right side, Linus, Antuna, and hopefully Tecatitos. And yeah, I think you can actually make it happen with 26 players. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, just because that defensive midfield position, we only have Edson, but if you take Achache, he could play that position. Charlie could play that position.
Guardado
could play that position. So yeah, so that's where you kind of make up for having
Jorge so Sanchez can play that position.
Yeah, apparently he can.
Apparently he can.
There you go, Tata. So yeah.
Oh, what? Was that Moreno ever? I thought, no.
Moreno's a defensive midfielder?
I thought, I'm like, why am I thinking Moreno on someone? No, that was Reyes. Moved up.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, there it is, guys. We spent way too much time, and we'll keep doing this almost because everything kind of keeps changing. List for the Mexico games that are coming up, should be coming up in the next few days. Be interesting to see who he calls. I believe I heard Little Bird tell me that there's 12 Europeos that are going to that list.
Wow. So, that would be quickly, oh my God, are you bringing in Arteaga? Could that be one of them?
I think so.
So yeah, Arteaga, Johan. I was looking at that Araujo, but not anymore. but you have Sanchez out there as well. Yeah,
Edson.
You have four Europeos. You're not considering Achacha, right? So this is no. Like, despite MLS. Okay.
No, this is Europeos.
So you could have Guti, Guardado, Chucky, Orbelin, I guess, and then Linus. Raul, Chaquito, I'm missing one. Oh, could that be Marcelo?
Could that be Marcelo? Could that be Ortecatito?
Oh, no, just bring him in and just to like, I don't know, like bond the players. That'd be nice. We've seen that before. That's happened. Like, we've seen that with clubs as well. That would be a really like great boost for Tecatito.
Wait, is there anybody in Portugal?
No. Linus.
Yeah, Linus. Yeah,
Linus.
Somebody in Portugal. So yeah, so he also did mention the number 12 right now in a press conference where it's like, we got the 12 in Europe when somebody asked him about the World Cup. But I don't know if that 12 is Tecatito, including Tecatito, because I would think
I probably would think that just because he is going to wait for Tecatito as long as he is, he's just going to keep him in like wherever he's recovering and make sure that he has enough rest. It's like a nice thing. Hey, come on over and be here.
I could see that.
But recovery wise, I mean, you just don't want any setbacks just because you traveled half across the world to just be with your friends and teammates.
No, but I mean, if they're contemplating that he's going to be ready for the World Cup, might be some games, like bring him. So that's what I heard about, which is just going to be tight. It's just going to be tight.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll see. What stinks is that it'd be cool to see a Peru that was going to the World Cup. Now they're not.
It would be great if like any one of these last three teams was going to the World Cup.
It's true. But I mean, these were made before Peru didn't make it to the World Cup. These friendlies were already scheduled, and obviously Colombia. Not
truth be told, who would have thought that Colombia wasn't going to make it?
So. Yeah, Colombia and Peru, which I'm like at least one of them, but they didn't make it.
Yep.
So for all those that say it's just so hard to qualify in CONMEBOL, Peru couldn't beat Australia. I'm not saying Australia is an easy team, but
yeah.
All right. Pasadena on the Saturday, the 24th, and then Santa Clara. There was another national team game that was announced, right? Which is more than 1 week. I don't know. In Girona in Spain, which is going to be the two games now. Iraq and obviously Sweden. Iraq trying to mimic a little bit of the Saudi Arabian teams. The Saudi Arabia like team, and then Sweden, right? Which is Poland, right? Trying to get, I guess, the same style, and we're looking at
feel, yeah.
So I then have four more games before the World Cup starts. Four games for everybody, and you know this is going to go by really fast. It's September. Now we're looking at October. No games in October. The prep. And is there going to be a camp before? When does the camp start?
Yeah,
when
I mean,
is a definitive list? Do you know anything about that?
I don't know when, like what date. I do remember that came up, like the fact that they could be taking some extra players to the mm-hmm. camp in Girona, just to make sure they have enough players available to prepare. I'm guessing trying to be a bit, I don't know, having just being cautious and knowing that you have any player available just in case our bad luck continues and you lose another player due to injury or something like that, which I hope not. But I mean, we do have Tecatito out. Chucky gave us a scare. So yeah. I'm pretty sure he's going to give the definitive list after, like before that. So Liga MX stops on the 30th. I'm guessing first week of November. Yeah. We'll have that, like probably like the second or third. Yep.
It has to be the first week. So looking at the US mm-hmm. said November 9th is when they're giving their list. I'm not saying that they're going to give it at the same time.
No, I'm pretty sure Mexico's going to have it like just a bit before.
Before, yeah. Because November 9th is when they face Iraq. So yeah. You're going to need a few days to travel. I'm thinking November 3rd, 2nd.
Yeah, somewhere along those lines.
Yep. Is when we're going to get. Now, does that mean the team will already be together? Does that mean they're going to come in before to do a little mini camp? Because I thought there was going to be a longer camp for this World Cup cycle. But they can't have them until the 30th.
Yeah.
Europeos, can they be released early? I mean, if there's a game on the 9th, when does everything else end?
Yeah, because I think some European leagues end like around that first week of November still. I mean, again, kudos Liga MX for ending the season so early. I mean, yeah, we're struggling to keep up with the schedule, but but we'll appreciate players being released a bit earlier. I'm guessing they're going to have, like, usually what happens is whenever you're eliminated from Liga MX, you probably have like a week off and then you start joining like training at the CAR, like, yeah, the facilities, and just start practicing like a week after you're eliminated from Liga MX. So I'm guessing that will probably happen. It's just a matter of knowing what will happen with the actual finalists.
Because if
you are playing the 30th, then you have like zero rest. And I think they can't have that. I think they're actually like obligated to give some rest before.
The last game of the EPL is November 12th. You got Wolves versus Arsenal.
That's just crazy.
So
like 8 days before the World Cup,
and then
begins.
And then match 17 is December 26th, which is a week. So we'll see. We'll see when that. So maybe the first games, you know, you're going to have a Raul. You're not going to have some of the European players?
I guess so. I mean, they're not obligated to let them go. They could. Like,
that's the question we need. When are they obligated? When are they obligated to let them go?
I think it's actually on the, like, just that weekend. I think some leagues, like, really took it, like, as far as they could go with the calendar.
Okay.
I think I have it written somewhere. Let me see if I can find it. Because that's like, if you hear like several people from the federation, they'll actually mention this several times, saying how grateful they are for the clubs to making sure that they release the players as early as they could. Mm-hmm. Here we go, November 14th. That's the limit for players to actually like join their teams for the World Cup.
Okay, yeah, which is the last game with November 12th. They'll probably keep Raul. Yep.
It's a Monday.
So there it is. The Iraq game, you're not going to have a full squad.
Nope. You'll have them for the Sweden game.
Yeah.
Which is, again, I was pretty sure that they had to give them like a week off. But yeah, again, like this World Cup is weird in so many ways. So I'm guessing that's just not happening. Yeah. Because that's just 1 week before the actual World Cup begins. Yep. Okay.
All right, guys. Well, there it is. All about the national team. Man, everything's just going to come by really, really fast. We'll continue here, it's just going to be madness. These next two games, Let us know if you have any questions. What do you think about the list? If there are any players that we've missed, I know there's other players that, you know, you wish we had, the younger players that are coming up. But I believe everybody we mentioned today, I think that's a pretty good. Pretty good list. It's just kind of scary to see who's going to make it and who's not.
Yeah.
When we're looking at it. We will see. All right. Liga MX. America's going to win the whole thing. Let's just congratulations to the fans.
With their historic. I hope not, but it definitely seems as though they could. Which is amazing. If you start thinking about how intense America's schedule was at some point.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. I mean, they did it. Well, they're doing it because, I mean, usually what happens to the MX teams, they're not used to having so much activity like midweek. Usually have weeks off. They actually have Monday off and Tuesday off and stuff like that. And then America had an entire month where they had zero rest days. And now, hey, they're first place. They're practically qualified for straight to quarterfinals. I don't think they'll make it out of the first four. I'm sorry?
I think Monterrey and America are pretty much qualified.
Yeah, I think they're set. And they'll make a straight to quarterfinals. So they'll actually have that rest week because everybody else will have to play repechaje.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
In the last game, León is just the weirdest team you can root for because there's no way I expected León.
Pumas can give you a run for their money.
Monterrey winning, Club America winning. It's just interesting how the first few weeks of Liga MX has nothing to do with what is happening towards it. So, interesting to see what happens. Is there there's a midweek games coming up too, right?
There's midweek games every single week. That's the crazy thing about Liga MX. I mean, it's actually games that were pending. Yeah, the Chivas Tigres is pending, America Santos is pending, but the Cruz Azul León that takes place on Thursday, which I'm not sure why they're playing on Thursday, that's actually a week 16 game.
Yes, 16 game, right?
I'm not even sure if they're in week 16 because everybody's in a different week, so I'm not even sure if that's what they get. If it's why are they playing on Thursday? I don't know.
I have to get tomorrow. The game that Chivas versus Tigres is from match day 9.
Yep.
The Club America versus Santos is from the 5th week. Then Juarez Pachuca is from the 8th week. And then the León Cruz Azul game is for week 16.
Yeah. And then you had teams that were actually playing week 16 a month ago or something. That was why August was so weird. There was actually a point in the season where we had Liga MX games consecutively. I think it was for 11 days.
Yeah.
We did not have a day off from Liga MX. So, yeah, that's how weird this calendar has been. And that's why you look at the standings and you have teams that have played 14 games, 15 games, 16 games, 12 games. It's been crazy the entire season.
Okay. Yep. All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. All right. Adriana, thanks again. Saying thank you to Amy, our producer. And also Cesar, I think I took a little vacay because here comes some crazy time for anybody that's working in media and football. Thank you again for all our followers and all the questions. If you're listening to us once again on the Apple iPods podcast, definitely give us a rating and let us know what you like. Tweet at us, and you can also
send us photos of your album as well.
Oh yeah. If you're needing it, sell us.
And let us know how you're doing.
We can do a contest of TMSS Mexican soccer listeners. If you already finished your complete Mexico, we'll give you a shout out on the floor. So if you already have all of Mexico in this 1 week, let us know and we'll give you a shout out on the next Mexican soccer show. But you gotta message us in all of the different platforms. All right. Once again, nos vemos, Adriana. This has been another great Mexican soccer show. Hasta la próxima.
Adios. We'll